Welcome to the Shir Ben Ezra Parshiyos Achrimos Kedoshim. Wanted to start tonight with Kedoshim and sort of work our way back in certain respects to Achrimos, where there's certain points of commonality between the Ibn Ezra's commentary on Kedoshim and that on Achrimos. So as we know, Parshiyos Kedoshim opens with the words by Daber Hashem Moshe Reimar, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarto aleihem kedoshim tiyu. Speak to the entire congregation of b'nei Yisrael and tell them that you should be holy. And of course the terminology el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, the entire congregation of the Jewish people, is noteworthy. Usually most of the time in the Chumash it says Daber el b'nei Yisrael. What's kol adas b'nei Yisrael? So Rashi famously comments, Melanei shenema parshas o b'hakel Bo. This particular Parshas Kedoshim, which again according to Rashi contains Rov Gufei Torah, the majority of the essentials of Torah, you know, so many special and fundamental mitzvot that are in Kedoshim. So Moshe Rabbeinu convenes a special assembly of the entire Jewish people, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Parshas Onemra B'Hakel, because of the importance of what he was going to discuss. That's Rashi. The Ibn Ezra is obviously sensitive to this language as well, or kol adas b'nei Yisrael, but the emphasis that he places is somewhat different than Rashi. In the version of Ibn Ezra that we have in our Chumashim, he writes, Tam el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, when it says the entire congregation of b'nei Yisrael, is lahachnis es hagerim, to include gerim. In other words, not just B'nai Yisrael, but Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, the entire congregation of the Jewish people. Now, here's an important point that we have to mention, because this will come up again and again in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, you hear, and in other places, uses the term ger. He uses it in the sense of a ger toshav, in other words, a non-Jew, who is a resident of Eretz Yisrael, who is not converted to Judaism. The Ibn Ezra is not using the term ger in the sense of a convert, right? And that will become clear, you know, over the course of the Shia tonight, Be'ezus Hashem. It's not conceivable that the Ibn Ezra is coming and telling us that these mitzvot apply to converts as well, because what would be the havamina, what would be the reason to think that kedoshim tiyu, keeping Shabbos, mora avraim, not stealing, not putting a stumbling block before the blind, all of the mitzvahs that are included in Parshas Kedoshim, what would be the havamina to think that a ger tzedek, that a convert, would not be obligated to those mitzvahs? It's clear from not only the context, but many other examples that we'll bring from the Ibn Ezra, that the ger to which the Ibn Ezra refers over here is to a ger toshav, to a non-Jew who is nonetheless a resident of Eretz Yisrael. This parsha was directed to him as well. Not only B'nai Yisrael, which would be Jews, but Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael, in other words, everyone who's a member of the municipalities of Klal Yisrael, which includes the Gerei Toshav as well. Now, it's interesting to note that in another Tzaviyat, another version of the Ibn Ezra, that version of the Ibn Ezra has Lahotzi as Hagerim. Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, with the emphasis on the entire congregation of the Jewish people, is Davka, says the Ibn Ezra, to exclude Gerim. And here again, it becomes even more obvious that Gerim in this context means Geri Toshav, non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, because, what, you're going to tell me that not only is it a Havamina, but it's a Maskana? That converts, the Gerei Tzedek, are excluded from all of the mitzvahs which are discussed in Parshas Kedoshim is inconceivable. The whole idea of becoming a Gerei Tzedek is to be Mekabel all mitzvahs, right? I mean, certainly the central and important mitzvahs which are in Parshas Kedoshim. Again, we'll have, in the next couple of moments, we'll try to explore these two contradictory versions of what the Ibn Ezra says, that either Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael is doubt to include Gerei Tzedek, or doubt to exclude Gerei Toshav. Why would Gerei Toshav be mentioned specifically one way or the other over here? So the Ibn Ezra continues as follows. Bavur Shehem Nisharim Al Harayos Ki Yisraelim. Because Geri Toshav are commanded to observe the laws of Gili Arayis, of prohibited sexual relations, just like Jews are. Right, again, that very line itself makes it clear that he's talking not about Geri Tzedek, but about Geri Toshav, about people who are not Jews. They are commanded in the laws of the Arayos, just like Jews are. The Tam, Lahazkir Zos HaParsha Acharei Arayos, the reason that Parshas Kedoshim is mentioned right after the end of Parshas Acharei Mos, which, as we know, describes all of the Arayos, the prohibited relations, Shelo Yachshavu, Kibavu Shmirat Arayos LeVadom, Yamdu Ba'aretz, people shouldn't think that if they're merely scrupulous about the laws related to Arayos, that alone will enable them to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Amar lohem, shigam yesh mitzvos acheros, kim lo sishmeru, tigurashu min ha'aretz. Parshas Kedoshim comes to tell the Jewish people that not only is the observance of Arayos a prerequisite to remaining in Eretz Yisrael, but all of these other mitzvos and Parshas Kedoshim are also a prerequisite for living in Eretz Yisrael, for staying in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't keep the mitzvos and parshas kedoshim, you will be driven out of Eretz Yisrael. So let's try to put this together a little bit. Again, the Ibn Ezra is typically terse. Let's try to put this together, and then we'll come back and we'll see where Geri Toshav fit into this whole equation. The psukim are explicit at the very end of Parshas Acharei Mos, that the observance or lack of observance of the laws of Arayos will be a determining factor in whether Klal Yisrael remain in Eretz Yisrael or do not remain in Eretz Yisrael. That's in Parak Yitches, Pasuk Chavdal. The Pasuk tells us, Al Kitamu B'chol Eile, do not defile yourself with all of these things, these prohibited relations. Ki B'chol Eile Nitmu HaGoyim Asher Ani Mishalech Mitnechem. The non-Jewish inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael defiled themselves with these things. Batitma ha'aretz, the land became defiled by Kod Avona Aleha, and I visited the sin of the land upon it. Batoki ha'aretz is Yosheveh. Right? And because the people, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanites, failed to keep these laws of Gir Arayos, they were spewn out of the land. They were vomited out of the land. And a few psukim later, in Chavches, we're told, don't you do the same thing that the Canaan did. The Canaan engaged all of his Gili Arayos, and they were vomited out of Eretz Yisrael. If you don't follow these laws of Arayos, if you engage in all of these prohibited activities, you will be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael as well. So the psukim is very, very explicit that guarding the laws of Arayos is a key to remaining in Eretz Yisrael. Not guarding the laws of Arayos is the key to being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. So comes Ibn Ezra and he says, so that's the hemshah, that's the continuation of Acharei Mos HaKedoshim, right? Not only is it necessary to observe the laws of the Arayos if you want to stay in Eretz Yisrael, in addition to that, the laws which are laid out in Kedoshim are also fundamental to remaining in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you're not going to keep Shabbos, respect your parents, if you're going to engage in Avodah Zarah, if you're going to violate all the other laws that are described in Parshas Kedoshim, the punishment of being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael is going to apply to you just as much as, you know, the punishment of being thrown out for the Arayos, right? So that's first thing that the Ibn Ezra lays down over here. Parshas Kedoshim is so important because it's laying down the mitzvot which are necessary for our continued living in Eretz Yisrael. And just a comment, one little pinch on that, which I think is just striking, because it brings home something which we all know, but, you know, here the Ibn Ezra anchors it in the Pesukim. Later on in Parshas Kedoshim, we're told, Pasuk Yitzes, Lo sisna esachicha bilvavecha. Right? You should not hate your brother in your heart. In other words, the iser of sinas chinam. So he writes the Ibn Ezra on that Pasuk, These are all mitzvahs that are planted in the heart, by which I think he means these are mitzvahs which are dependent not so much on what you do, but what you think and what you feel. Right? Well, sista zachicha bilvadecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. When we guard these mitzvahs, we remain in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Ibn Ezra is just repeating what he said at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, that the mitzvahs of Parshas Kedoshim are our key to remaining in Eretz Yisrael. Violation of the mitzvahs of Parshas Kedoshim is a good way to get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. And right, Ibn Ezra, how do I know this in this particular case? Ki al simas chinam chared vayishenim. That famous Gemara in the beginning of Yuvah, the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Galus came about because of Sinas Chinam. So what's the source for the idea that Sinas Chinam, that causeless hatred, is such a terrible sin that it leads to Galus? Where'd you get that from? I mean, okay, we all know that, right? I mean, the Chaim Heritage Foundation has, pounded that into our heads every single Tisha B'Av, right? As we know that full well, the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinam. How does Chazal know that? How does Chazal know that Sinas Chinam is so terrible that it can lead to Galus and the Churban HaBayis? So if it is, it's a Pasuk of Chumash, right? If Parshas Kedoshim is a list of those mitzvahs which are necessary to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And one of those isurim is Losisna Zachicha Bilvadecha. Don't engage in Sinas Chinam. So the Pasuk is telling us that, Sinas Chinam is one potential Avera. It's not the only Avera, but it's one potential Avera for which the Ribbono Shel Olam could potentially bring galus upon the Jewish people. Oh, so one second. So let's back up. So yeah. So we're not here yet. We'll get to Gear Kosher in about a minute or so. Yeah.
Is this also directed towards the Kohanim as well?
Yeah, certainly. Right, certainly the Kohanim and Levim. So let's come back to what we said before. So the first thing that Ibn Ezra said, as we just elucidated, is that Parshas Kedoshim is a list of those mitzvahs which are necessary for us to keep in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael. That's, by the way, it's not exactly the same thing Rashi is saying, but it certainly works well with Rashi. Lo gufei Torah tzuyin bo, that these are really, really important mitzvahs, right? What makes them so important? They're so important because they're our key to remaining in Eretz Yisrael. So now, let's move back to the issue of Ger Toshuv, right? So the answer says that these mitzvahs, again, the way we have the Ibn Ezra, these mitzvahs in Kedoshim apply equally to a Ger Toshuv, and that's why the Pasuk says, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Kol adas b'nei Yisrael means not only those who are actually Jewish, but those who are hangers-on. In other words, those who are, part of the Jewish land, part of the Jewish municipality, but not necessarily part of the Jewish religion, the Ger Toshuv. Now, this would seem to fit in with another Ibn Ezra back in Parshas Acharimos, where in the beginning of the Parsha of the Arayos, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Vav, the Pasuk there says, Ish, Ish, O Kol She'er B'Sorrow, O Sikruvu L'Galos Erva. Every man should be careful not to engage in the Arayos. So, right there, Ibn Ezra, Kol Ish Vo Ish. What does ish mean? Every man? It means every human being. Ubavush lo hiskiri beis Yisrael lo nazo hagir shiyase achas mitoevos hanizkaros v'yarsenu. Says the Ibn Ezra, in the parasha of the Arayos, there's no reference to Jews. Right? We do have parallel psukim that have the phrase ish ish nideis Yisrael, every man from the Jewish people. It does not say that in the parish of the Arayos. Ish ish a kosher b'sorrow, right? There's no reference to Jews. So says that it's an answer. The parish of the Arayos is directed towards Jews and non-Jewish residents of Eretz Yisrael alike. You should not allow a Ger Toshuv to engage in any of these prohibited relations in our land. Because if a non-Jew engages in these types of arayos and eretz Yisrael, he defiles the land as well. And the same way the Pasuk says the Jews will be thrown out of eretz Yisrael because of their allegiance to arayos, if non-Jews in eretz Yisrael keep the are not scrupulous with the laws of Gilead Arayos, that will lead to us being thrown out of eretz Yisrael as well. Now, L'chor, what the Ibn Ezra is saying is the following. We know that Bnei Noach have a certain degree of commandment to keep laws of Arayos as well. Right? Gilead Arayos is one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. But at the same time, we also know that Bnei Noach are not obligated in the full spectrum of Gilead Arayos the way that Jews are. Because the Gemara has different opinions as to what Arayos that non-Jew is obligated in exactly, but it's certainly a smaller spectrum than the spectrum in which Jews are commanded. Comes Ibn Ezra, he says, he seems to be saying the following sentence. When we say that non-Jews have a restricted number of Arayos that they have to be careful about, that's for a non-Jew living in Mongolia, you know, or Queens, you know, just to bring it a little bit closer to home. But if a non-Jew is living in Eretz Yisrael, so then by virtue of the fact that he's living in Eretz Yisrael, he has to keep all of the Arayos which are incumbent upon Jews. That's what Ibn Ezra said. Ish, right? It includes non-Jews as well. I'd say no, in Eretz Yisrael. Because there's something unique about the status of Eretz Yisrael that does not tolerate these types of Averos, right, done by anyone, these types of actions done by anyone. So the non-Jew living in Eretz Yisrael has to keep the Jewish version of Gilead Arayos.
But they don't have the same family center, not well. How do you say father? There's no
Yisrael to be
right.
Right, okay, but...
The father's side doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist in Halacha, but I think what the Ibn Ezra would be saying is it clearly exists in biology. Right, and biologically, you know, there is a, you know, these relations do exist. Right, and okay, I don't know how the Ibn Ezra would deal with that. I don't know what he would, you know, what his reaction would be to Lot and his daughters. But I mean, I'll call upon him, and you know, maybe that's pre-Matan Torah. You know, maybe that's a different way of looking at it. Right? And again, it's a tremendous chiddush, but it does seem to be a chiddush that he's saying, right? That the laws of Gilead Arayos, as codified for Jews, apply to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael as well. Yeah.
What about getting thrown out of Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. In other words, if they are in Eretz Yisrael, we are responsible for what their actions are, and you know, so we have to ensure, again, assuming that we're in power, we have to ensure that they're going to keep these laws.
But
we're not in power, so we don't have the, you know, we can't do anything. But assuming we're in power and there's Israel, so we have to ensure that they're going to keep these laws and get our rights to the fullest extent, right? So with that Ibn Ezra in mind, it gives you a new understanding of a heightened understanding of the Ibn Ezra, the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, right? Let's just add up, connect the dots. Parshas Kedoshim, according to the Ibn Ezra, means a series of additional mitzvahs which are necessary to be followed in order to keep us in Eretz Yisrael. And in not only the Arayos, but all of these other mitzvahs. And in the parsha of the Arayos, the Ibn Ezra said that not only the Jews have to keep these Arayos to stay in Eretz Yisrael, but even the non-Jews have to keep the Arayos in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So it's really just an extension of that idea to say, so Menela, non-Jews should have, no, the Gerei Toshav among us should have to keep the mitzvos and parshas Kedoshim in order for Klal Yisrael to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Daver El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, right, that the Gerei Toshav are being Musa, they're being commanded about these mitzvahs as well, because we all need to keep these in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So that's an extension of what the Ibn Ezra wrote by the Arayos. Conversely, the other Gersa in the Ibn Ezra that says, Lahosir Sagerim, right, is to exclude Gerim, Zabel Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, so the explanation over there would be as follows. It's true that Arayos have to be kept in order for us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And it's true that even the non-Jews have to keep the Arayos for us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And it's true that the mitzvahs and parshas kedoshim have to be kept in order for us to stay in Eretz Yisrael also. However, we draw the line that the mitzvahs and parshas kedoshim are only incumbent upon Jews to keep in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael, not upon Gerei Kosher. Right? So there's a logic to both versions of the Ibn Ezra. But clearly the fact that the Ibn Ezra has to address the role of the Ger Toshav vis-a-vis the mitzvahs and parshas kedoshim directly flows from what the Ibn Ezra wrote about the role of the Ger Toshav with regard to the Arayah. Oh, so what about, right, so let's come to that. Gemara says, Nachish Shabbat Chayav Misa, right? If a non-Jew keeps, Shabbos, right, so he is Chayav Misa B'day Shammai, he's subject to the divine penalty of death, right? And sometimes, you know, you're going into a building, you see the non-Jewish guard, he wishes you a good Shabbos. You know, I'm always wondering what to say back. If I say good Shabbos for the summer, if you answer good Shabbos, it means halabai that you shouldn't keep Shabbos because, you know, that's your Shabbos. Your Shabbos is not to keep Shabbos. Right? That's good Shabbos. Right? That's good Shabbos from a non-Jew point of view. Right? So if we would accept the idea that Parshas Kedoshim was said to Gerei Kosher as well, how do you work that in with the clear commandment in Parshas Kedoshim to keep Shabbos? Right? Ishimo ba'ovid tirov yasham sofai tishmoru. Wait a minute. A Ger Toshav should keep Shabbos. A Ger Toshav can't keep Shabbos. See, here too, there seems to be a very unique shita of the Ibn Ezra. Consider the following. Also from Parshas Achrimos, in his discussion of Yom Kippur. Right, the Pasuk says, Tered Tezayin Pasuk Chavtes, V'haysa lachem l'chukas olam, these laws of Yom Kippur should be an eternal law for you. V'chodesh ha'shvi v'esa l'chodesh te'anu es nafsho seichem. Right, on the 10th day of the 7th month, right, 10th day of Tishrei, you should afflict yourselves. V'chol melacha lo sasri, you shouldn't do any melacha. Ha'ezrach, right, the citizen of Israel, right, and the ger who dwells among you, right. So here too, who's this ger, right? So again, typically the interpretation is the convert as well comes to Ibn Ezra and he says, "Ha Ezra the hager hagar b'sochetem, lo na'azenu la'asos melacha. We do not allow this ger to do melacha on Yom Kippur." But we don't force him to fast. Now again, clearly, Ibn Ezra understands Ger over here as Ger Toshav, not Ger Tzedek, because Ger Tzedek is obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, right? In other words, I can't really convert to Judaism. I'm into this whole Jewish thing, except for the Yom Kippur thing, right? That's not going to work, right? Ger Tzedek has to fast on Yom Kippur also. So we're talking about Ger Toshav. And Zotta Ibn Ezra, if you read the poster carefully, Ta'anuas Nacho Seichem, you Jews should fast. So call Malacha Osasu Ha'ezra Fragera Garda Sochetem, but when it comes to Malacha on Yom Kippur, Jews and non-Jewish residents of Eretz Yisrael should refrain from doing Malacha on Yom Kippur. And there are other places in Ibn Ezra's commentary where he writes, back in the Aseret HaDibros and Shmos, that a Ger Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos. So again, how do you fit that in? That don't fit in with what the Ibn Ezra is potentially saying with Impasha's Kedoshim, but how do you square that with Nachish Shishavas? So it would seem as follows. Again, I think this is shot in Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says there's a special category of obligation for non-Jewish Gerei Toshav who live in Eretz Yisrael. Their status is different than the status of a regular Nachri. There are various mitzvot which they have to keep because of their dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, dinim that may or may not apply to a Nachri outside of Eretz Yisrael do not necessarily apply to that Nachri, to that Ger Toshav within Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, Nachri Shishav is Chayav Misa. But inside Eretz Yisrael, a Ger Toshav, part of his obligation towards Eretz Yisrael, part of the contract that he signs by virtue of living in Eretz Yisrael, is to keep Shabbos. Because we find in the Chumash that Shabbos slash Shemitah, which is in a sense an extension of Shabbos, the failure to observe Shemitah is the cause for Golus. Apparently, the failure to observe Shabbos by any of the residents of Eretz Yisrael, even the non-Jewish residents of Eretz Yisrael, holds that Ibn Ezra is a town for Golus. It's the reason for Klal Yisrael to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. So that overrides whatever other considerations of Nachash Yisrael, which we might otherwise have. Tremendous, tremendous chiddush. But I think it's the chiddush that Ibn Ezra is saying. Right. So it comes out according to the Ibn Ezra. Right, Amir al-Aqla is a very big problem. Again, we don't hold like this Ibn Ezra. I believe in Bayez Zagan, if I'm not mistaken, is the guy who's officially hired by the municipality to be the Shabbos Goy of Bayez Zagan. It's really hard to find a Shabbos Goy in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael. What's that? Oh yeah. They say that, you know, he knows the halachos backwards and forwards. Like, you go to him, you know, you ask me to do something, he says, no, you're not allowed to ask me to do that, you know? But, you know, yeah, according to the Ibn Ezra, you know, it's really hard to make a finosis, a Shabbos going there, it's so. That's what would come out, right? You know, if the dinim of Shemitah would apply. Right. I mean, he would not be in favor of the Hetzer Mechira would come out, right?
So,
it doesn't sound like, I mean, maybe you could say that it doesn't sound like that he draws a distinction between the Tahesia and the Tzina. Sounds like the Nachri, by virtue of the being there to sell, was Mechuyev to keep Shabbos, which, again, tremendous, tremendous fittest.
We don't
follow that, no, but that seems to be the position there today. What's that? Hard to find a guy in certain neighborhoods. That's why. Right. Okay, we'll pick up Ben Hashem after Mayru. If I want to be a Kasha Omer. Okay, welcome to the second part of the Shiur. And Ben Ezra Tashios Achremos Kedoshim. So, if you wanted to add a little bit in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, we spoke at the first part of the Shiur about the unique role of the Ger Toshav from the Ibn Ezra's perspective, how the Ger Toshav, we suggested, may be actually obligated in many mitzvahs that ordinarily Jews would be obligated in if they're living in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, some of these dinim are functions of Eretz Yisrael and not necessarily functions of the specific person. We should note that the Ibn Ezra, in his early comments in Parshas Kedoshim, writes that what makes the mitzvot in Parshas Kedoshim so special is that they can be correlated with the Aseret HaDibros. So this idea that the mitzvot in Kedoshim could be correlated with the Aseret HaDibros is an idea which is already found in Chazal of the Midrashim, and it's echoed by other Rishonim as well. The Ramban quotes it, the Chizkuni quotes it, but the Ibn Ezra as well quotes it, and, you know, goes at some length to describe how the mitzvot and Parshas Kedoshim are related to the Aseret HaDibros. As such, it's fair to say, according to the Ibn Ezra, that the Aseret HaDibros themselves are part of the contract, if you will, you know, that they are essential mitzvot to allow yourself to keep specifically in Eretz Yisrael, not exclusively in Eretz Yisrael, but they have a specific importance in Eretz Yisrael because the Aseret HaDibros and the mitzvot related to them apparently are the mitzvot which give Klal Yisrael the license to Eretz Yisrael, and indeed, as we said before, the other nations, you know, living in Eretz Yisrael, the Geri Toshav, the right to enable Klal Yisrael to stay in Eretz Yisrael as well. There's a lot of comments. You know, one specific he'ara that the Ibn Ezra has, which I think is short 50, but certainly very memorable. So the pasuk says, "Parakei Tes pasuk Yudalef, lo tignovu, you should not steal, lo tichachashu, you should not deny if somebody gave you something to watch, you should not deny that you have it. Lo tishakru, ish va'amiso, you should not lie, you know, one man to another." So says the Ibn Ezra, clearly, lo tignovu, to the extent to which it's picking up on ideas in the Aseret HaDibros, it's not hard to correlate lo tignovu to the Aseret HaDibros, right? Lo tignovu, fits rather nicely with Los Signos, right? Again, leaving aside for a moment Chazal's drasha that Los Signos refers to kidnapping, okay, but clearly just on a very, very shot level, Los Signos, right, you know, seems to be correlated. But the question is, why is the Aseres Hadibros in the singular and Parshas Kedoshim in the plural? Lo Tignovu, use plural, shall not steal. So, listen to this. Again, a short, pithy, but very, very powerful line from the Ibn Ezra. Tam Tignovu, the reason that it's Tignovu in the plural, Ki Haroeh Umachrish Gamahu Gamav. If you see thievery and you're silent, you're also a ganav. In other words, there's a concept of being an accessory to the crime. Certainly the lookout guy is going to be an accessory to the crime. You know, the guy driving the getaway car is going to be an accessory to the crime. But even more than that, right? The guy who sees thievery and doesn't serve as a whistleblower, right? He's also guilty. Lo tignovu, you plural, should not steal. Right? Interesting pithy deal in the pasuk. And he says it in the next phrase as well. V'lo shechachashu. Right? Well, you should not deny. The tikadam mufkar eslecha. If you had, someone gave you something to watch, you should not deny that it's, in your possession. And here too says the Ibn Ezra. The hayodeya v'einenu meyed. If somebody knows that you are indeed hiding this object that belongs to someone else, and he doesn't give testimony and evidence to that effect, in other words, he does not incriminate you, he's also guilty of this cover-up, of covering up the fact that you have this property, which is not yours, illicitly in your possession. Right? So, again, very pithy, but also very, a little bit scary, because again, we know that it's... short and to the point, right? In other words, it's a scary concept to think about. In other words, Ibn Ezra is saying that you could be a ganav by breaking into a bank and stealing the money. You could be a ganav by witnessing the guy breaking into the bank and not picking up the phone, right? In other words, that's also included in Lo Tignovu. It's an interesting area. Yeah.
The only time most of us would have a problem with that is if we were afraid,
For
our lives, nobody's
going to
stand by and watch
somebody else
get robbed.
Okay. Well, Hashem, so it's not a problem. Thank God. All right. So, two other quick words that is just interesting in their short and sweetness. Ish imo v'aviv tiro, parak yitzet posa gimel. Every man should fear his mother and his father. So why the mother first? So we know Chazal again, Tarshish and Rashi quotes that your natural inclination is to have a little bit more fear for your father, a little bit more love for your mother. So therefore the pasuk has to stress that you have to fear your mother, because it's less intuitive. Ibn Ezra writes a little bit differently. He writes that. Why does it mention the mother first? It's in the order of how the kid gets to know his parents. The first parent that you have extensive contact with is your mother, right? So the mother is mentioned first, and then the father is mentioned afterwards. In other words, the pasuk is giving us the seder of how the child comes to interact with his respective parents. Interesting. I'm not sure. I was trying to think about that. So why would it be flipped around by kibud? I don't have a good shot. I'm open to suggestion, but it's interesting. He doesn't address that, even though I think it's a pretty good kasha. I'm sorry? Yeah, right. Okay, but you still have to explain it, right? Right. So then you're kind of putting together the Ibn Ezra and Rashi. In other words, Rashi says that we have to stress the idea of yira for a mother, right? Because he's naturally more inclined towards his mother. You know, so you're saying that's really what the Ibn Ezra is getting at as well. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's, you know, necessarily what the Ibn Ezra is going. One more just interesting he'ara. So, we spoke before about the beginning of the Parsha of Arayos and Achrimos. So, Ish HaKosh She'er B'Sara Lo Sikruvu L'Galos Ergo. Like, literally, every man should not come close to uncover nakedness, to She'er B'Sara, to that which is close to his own flesh. Right? So the expression She'er B'Sara is generally taken to mean, you know, a relative. Right? She'er B'Sara, you know, don't have relations with your relatives. Right? Don't engage in incestuous behavior. Then I have to quote a fascinating shot from Rabbi Aaron HaKohen, right, who was the Gaon who sat in Pumbedisa, and was a contemporary of Rav Sadia Gaon. There's the following interesting interpretation. Right, what does the pasuk mean? It's telling you that a person is not allowed to waste his seed. This is the place in the Torah where we're told not to engage in the most yeshiva zelav atala. How? Share the sorrow, we translated before as a relative. But share the sorrow literally means that which is close to your flesh. Don't come close to that which is close to your own flesh in order to uncover nakedness. In other words, to engage in something which is inappropriate regarding your own flesh. Right, so that's what the Shavaron Gaon writes. That is the source for the issa of the Moti Shichva Zara Levatala. Which, if you think about it, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we certainly know in Chumash and Bereishis that Er and Onan are punished for this Aver being Moti Shichva Zara Levatala. You know, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, you know, like the worst Aver ever. Okay, so, okay, if it's such a terrible Aver, so where's the mention of Chumash? So we can't. What's that? Right, so I mean, where do we find in Chumash that such a thing is usher? Right, Aaron Onan died because of it. So you think there'd be a pasuk somewhere that would say you can't do it? That's what Aaron writes. That was Aaron going right. This is the pasuk which is the source for the idea. The pasuk is really based on a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, the pasuk Shelton. Lo Sashchis is Esau and Dach Aleil Garzin. Right. So many of those things may be only also in the Rabban, and it could be that the Issa Dereis of Balpashtis is God put to destroy fruit trees, right? But, you know, the idea of Balpashtis, you know, not to wantonly destroy objects, that may be an Issa Dereis. Hard to say, because it seems far more severe than Balpashtis. Balpashtis would seem to be a worse than Issa Vav. You know, with most of Zerah of Atalo, we see that it's associated with Nisa B'nei Shamayim, which again, so where do we see that it's so terrible, right? So Rav Aaron Cohen is suggesting that that perhaps this is the source, you know, this pasuk over here.
So Rav Aaron,
if the
court is shot, is the court at all addressing the
Hergorim,
or just he's focusing, you know, on the
physical mindset? Yeah, just on the mindset. Okay, we'll pick up next week, Beis Hashem. Next week we'll meet Tuesday night as opposed to Wednesday night. Wednesday, I'm going to Israel for a week and a half, so it'll be somewhat difficult for me to say this year Wednesday night. Difficult, I guess not impossible, but somewhat difficult. But Beis Hashem, next Tuesday night, you know, I have this year and Tashas Emor. Okay, Rabbi Chanan, Ben Akasha, Omer, Rav, Kodesh,